and thank the Lord that we are privileged to do that very thing. Our lesson today is called The Day of Pentecost. And again, very familiar ground or scripture that we'll be looking at in the series, but always exciting to see even more of what the Lord has done in fulfilling the prophecy. Now, this experience we know is over 2,000 years old, but the prophecy that Peter quotes from Joel was 800 years old. So these time frames don't make it irrelevant, outdated, old-fashioned. It makes it strong evidence that God keeps his promises. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That God fulfills his word. And obviously, with the with that in mind, we know the promise of his coming, his return, all exciting as well. Because he will keep his promise. Look at the focused thought and recognize all that is included in receiving the Holy Ghost, the promised Spirit. It came down from heaven. I'm thankful that's where it came from. It fell on the day of Pentecost, and signs and wonders, power, miracles, works of God, all began in a great way through humans, people, who were anointed and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now, that's obviously not the first time the phrase signs and wonders occurs. Signs and wonders occur incredibly in Moses' day and in times before that. But the power of the Lord that would be displayed by the church, by people going forth, believing God, full of his Spirit, doing the work of the Lord, is what was the multiplication factor that is so exciting. The focus verse, I like how it says they were all filled. 120 in the upper room. Mary and her other children, Jesus' half-brothers. At first, they didn't believe in him. John records that. His brethren didn't believe in him. They were concerned that people thought him to be unbalanced, to be crazy. And they were trying to get him to come home with them to Nazareth. But what a change now as they come to be filled with his Spirit along with his mother. Praise God. And all filled. Amen. I'm thankful that that's God's plan, for everyone to be filled, no one to be left out, and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. Now, as I mentioned, promises, 1 Kings 8 and 56 lets us know of an attribute of God, that God cannot fail. And we talked about things that God can't do. You know, that sometimes we make the statement, God can do everything. And we know what we mean by that. But there are foolish things that are stated, you know, like, can God make a rock so big that even he couldn't lift it? No, that's crazy. We don't even need to be concerned about those kinds of things. But we know God can't lie, and God will not go back on his word, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm thankful that his word does not fail. And that's what we put our trust in, and that's what we know to be so powerful as Peter preaches the word of God. And speaking of Peter, let's go to his first letter. Peter's first letter to the church, chapter 1. Jordan, if you have your electronic device there and pull the Bible up. These are amazing things, aren't they? All the different versions that you can have. on your phone or your iPad or whatever. 1 Peter chapter 1, read verse 10, and then we'll drop down to verse 12.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
All right. The prophets were seeking. The prophets were inquisitive. The prophets were looking. What they spoke of intrigued them. They wondered, when is this going to happen? When is this going to take place? What is all going to be involved? So they wrote it down. They were instructed by the Spirit to record it, but they never saw it. Thank God you and I have. All right, drop down to verse 12. The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. There it is again with the strong evidence of where this came from. Luke records in Acts 2 in our text that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I'm glad that that's how we identify where it came from. But notice now, Peter records the prophets desired to look into it. Even the angels desire to look into it. This must be some kind of treasure. This must really be something that the Lord has blessed us with. And I hope there's not a, you know, the familiarity breeds contempt. I don't think it would breed contempt among Pentecostals, but I hope familiarity doesn't breed indifference or apathy or ho-hum. Hopefully it's a powerful evidence that God continues to bless us with and is poured out upon us. And I'm thankful that we've obviously identified that the Scripture says it comes from heaven. There are detractors. There are people who ridicule and say it is just man's exuberance, man's excitement, and it's just garbled up, and it really is not a language, and it's just ecstatic utterances and so on. No, it's the Spirit giving utterance. And thank God for the power of the Lord to be able to manifest that. Now, Pentecost, as a celebration, as a feast, had been going on for hundreds of years. When we say when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we're looking back to a celebration that the Jews had clear from Moses' day. We looked last quarter about feasts and celebrations, Pentecost obviously being one of them. And it just happened that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out. Now, that's not coincidental, because Pentecost means harvest. Pentecost as a celebration, as a feast, was something that was celebrated by the Jewish and Hebrew religion and service to God, which also brought hundreds, if not thousands, of people into Jerusalem. So that, I'm getting ahead a little bit here, but so that all of those nations would be listed. You count them up. I think there's 15, maybe even 17 nations that are listed there in Acts chapter 2. How come we hear them speaking in our languages? And they were there because of that feast, because of the day of Pentecost. So it's significant that God would orchestrate, God would organize all things to come together in the way that he would design and bring about the fulfillment of his word. That's another thing that we can have confidence in God. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we often quote that when we're going through trouble, don't we? We're often, oh God, how are you going to make this turn to good? But everything, we look at all situations, God is going to bring it about for good. And certainly the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, was one of those times. because of the power of the Lord that was there. You look at verse 5 of our text. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Wow, that's quite a crowd. And they were there because of this feast. Now, excuse me, that brings to mind how that Jesus said, the kingdom, the gospel, is going to be preached in every nation, then the Lord is going to come. And we often use that in futuristic thinking and support of missions. And thank God we do. Exciting to hear Brother Dross report about Mexico and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that is happening there and the power of God that is being displayed. Missions, we support it, we believe it, we pray for them. But according to what this says, every nation, it's already been done. Peter already preached. Acts 2:38 is already made known. There's nothing that's going to hold the Lord back from coming. Another of his promises that we believe and that we know will come to pass. So we live with anticipation. We live with expectation. We live with excitement that the Lord is going to come. Just like those 120 waited in the upper room, believing that God was going to send the promise. And they maybe discussed among themselves, how are we going to know? What's going to be the sign? And they rehearsed perhaps in their thinking and among each other. This is what he said. This is what he said. And they're trying to recall it all. But then suddenly, praise God, no doubt in their minds, they knew what the Lord had prepared for them. It was indeed spectacular. It was sensational. But yet in one sense, it was common in that every one of them got it. All 120 began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Now, the word got out, obviously. You got 120 people in an upper room, and the noise is there. There's a, I don't know if you saw on your webpage, there's a church in Louisiana that is in trouble for making noise. Not even a Pentecostal church. It's a Baptist church, of all things. And they're being told you cannot make more noise than a dishwasher. I mean, the sheriff has been there. The sheriff has come marching into their service and saying, you cannot be louder than 60 decibels, which they compared to being the volume of a dishwasher running. And so, okay, they're not using microphones. They're not using their PA system. They're just using the voice. Six marked patrol cars from the sheriff's office show up. The sheriff himself, in an unmarked black SUV, comes in and says, you're too noisy. The pastor says, we're not using any PA system. We're not using any broadcast equipment. You're still too noisy. That's amazing, isn't it? I'm glad the sheriff didn't show up in Jerusalem. He might have gotten the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And was noised abroad. Amen. The Greek word there is phoné. It looks like phone, P-H-O-N-E, pronounced phoné. But it was noised abroad. I mean, they couldn't keep it quiet. They couldn't settle it down. There were those who showed up and wondered and made accusations, ridicule, mocking. Ah, these guys are just drunk. You know, there's question about worship that becomes exuberant. There are those who say there's no support in Scripture for the kind of excitement that we see in a Pentecostal service sometimes, and what we call dancing before the Lord, and rejoicing, and jumping up and down, and clapping our hands. I mean, it gets so exciting, you can't sit still. It's powerful. Amen. Whenever there's fire, there's excitement. And there are those who would say, well, there's no evidence that, like in the book of Psalms, it says, praise him in the dance, praise him with the cymbals, the stringed instruments, and so on. Doesn't say that in the New Testament. Well, what were these guys doing then? That was the accusation. These guys are drunk. And Peter got up and said, no, they're not drunk like you think. These men are not drunken as you suppose. One old-timer read that a little bit differently and preached it. We're not drunk as we're supposed to be. And the service really blew up. Praise God. As we get intoxicated with the Spirit of God, get the ecstasy and the power and the blessing of the Lord in our lives, wow. It becomes powerful. But they said, these men are full of new wine. Well, they got the full part right. Yeah, they're full all right, but not new wine like you think, or wine like you think. It's the power of the Lord. It was the beginning of the church. It was born in the fire. And we obviously want to remain in the atmosphere that we were born in. Pretty bad circumstances or consequences if you are removed from the atmosphere that you're born in. And spiritually, that's true too. Amen. So we remain where God wants us to be. And thank the Lord for the amazement that they saw. No wonder they were amazed. It's an ecstasy. It's a spiritual power. It's a redemptive well-being that they were all given expression to. And the joy and the thrill and the excitement that was there for them experience the fulfillment of the promise. This is what he said. And Joel, obviously, wanting to substantiate by Scripture, notice he didn't say, this is what John the Baptist prophesied. He didn't say, this is what Jesus told us just 7 days ago. By the way, you've played that little game. What's that game called when you sit in a circle and you whisper to somebody next to you, and then that person tells the next person, and it goes all the way around. And boy, the message is really distorted because you're only allowed to say it one time, and you say it real softly, and it goes around the circle, and it comes back being completely different than what the message initially started. I think that game might be called gossip. Oh, things really get distorted, don't they? There was no distortion. There was no time frame that would cause them to forget. We're not talking about 7 years, 70 years, 700 years. We're talking about 7 days. And they obviously would remember what Jesus said. Repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Boy, they were focused. They were staying right there. And then, praise God, the power of the Lord that came. So it would cause amazement. And the Bible says they were amazed and they marveled. These are the people who are observing. And they're kind of on the outside looking in. How hear we every man speak in our language? These guys are Galileans. How do they know what to say in our language? And they understood what was being said. They heard them speak the wonderful works of God. Amen. And that's exciting. When you hear reports of people receiving the Holy Ghost speaking in English, They're always lifting up the Lord. The man in Mozambique who said, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Always lifting up the Lord. That little girl in Chile that Brother Showalter showed us at camp, as she is interceding, she's praying, she's crying, She begins to say in English, I love you, Messiah. I love you, Messiah. Come back, Messiah. I love you. There's always a worship. There's always an exalting of the Lord. Praise God. The wonderful works of God. And some would say, oh, that was only for a special purpose. Because, indeed, all of those nations, being in Jerusalem, they needed to hear the gospel in their language. Well, they did. They did hear and they did give witness and they were amazed. They marveled. But how come they all understood Peter when he stood up with the 11 and began to preach? It wasn't a language barrier. That wasn't what the Spirit of God was giving them, an ability to speak in another language just for that one particular purpose. No, that's divine evidence. That's the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost coming. And thank God for the power of the Lord. I asked Brother Drost about have you heard non-English speakers speak in English when they receive the Holy Ghost? He said, not in the Spanish-speaking population, but when we go into the mountains, and there are the Indian tribes in the mountains, and they have their own dialect, said we often hear them speak in English when they receive the Holy Ghost. And they're always lifting up the Lord. He said he was in Arizona and praying with somebody, and she began praying in Spanish. And after the service, he went to her and talked to her in Spanish. And she just smiled at him, didn't understand what he was saying. And come to find out, she received the Holy Ghost speaking in Spanish there in Arizona. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful God gives us abundant witness of how powerful this experience is, how wonderful it is for God to do the work of the Lord in this way. Praise God. They understood what was being said, but yet they doubted. That's an interesting combination. If you understand, why is there confusion? If you see the work of God, why is there doubt? That's just our human way, isn't it? We tell people about people being healed with cancer and being healed of different ailments and the power of God doing a tremendous work, and people just kind of look at you and maybe raise an eyebrow, you know, that's not supposed to happen in the 21st century. We've got medical amazing things that happen today and so on. Well, I'm glad God's not dead. Amen. He is alive. And the power of the Lord is something that we understand and know to be a great blessing. So there was doubt and there was derision. When doubt and derision come your way, don't feel bad. You're in the right category here. You're on the right path. There's doubt and derision that started when the church was born, and I suppose it's going to continue on till Jesus comes. In fact, there's scoffers and mockers Peter prophesies about in the last days, saying, where's the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were. No. There's lots of things happening. There's lots of things changing. Lots of things showing that the coming of the Lord is at hand. All that's happening in the financial world, all that's happening in computer technology, all that's happening in economics, all that's happening in the political realms, geographical, there's lots of changes taking place. And thank God we know his word has not changed. He is going to come. Praise God. And I'm thankful that that's the power and the blessing of the Lord. Take a moment to go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. Sister Amy, if you'd read for us, please. Ephesians 5 and 18. They laughed, they made fun, they gave their explanation. These men are full of wine. That's what's going on here. That's why they're acting like that. But obviously there was exuberant praise and boisterous demonstration as they were giving the Lord praise and exaltation. And thank God we can do that today as well. However, There is this comparison that the apostle makes in Ephesians 5 and 18. Go ahead. All right, so there's the alternative. Don't do one, but be sure you do the other. We got to make sure we got it right. And not combine the two. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. And society today would want to mix the two or nix the one and go with the other. No, we're going to hold on to what the Lord says. And there's a passage of Scripture. It's pretty long, so I'll just make reference to Ephesians 5 and 39, and I'll summarize the story here a little bit. There's discussion going back and forth. Already the apostles have been apprehended in chapter 4, not just for the day of Pentecost and what happened there, but for the lame man. Now, this is really gets me. The lame man who is walking and leaping and praising God, over 40 years old, and these are the first steps he has taken under his own power. My goodness, that should have been front page news and excitement and thrill and just witness and testimony and everything about him. But instead, the apostles are brought in, they're examined, they're treated harshly, they're told not to teach and preach anymore in that name. And that's when Peter says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. So they're apprehended again. And they're brought into the court of the high priest. And again, they're mistreated and verbally abused and so on. But one of their number, a man who is very educated, very practiced. In fact, they call him a doctor of the law. Now, that's not, he doesn't have a PhD in jurisprudence. He is one who is very familiar with Hebrew history, doctrine, and heritage. So, very learned in this area. So he says, put them out for a second. I want to talk to this group. And so he begins a history lesson. He said, there was a guy named Thutis. He came and he tried a revolt. Another guy named Judas. And his insurrection didn't last very long. We know if it's of man, it will come to nothing. But he says, be careful. Be careful how you treat these men. Because if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Praise God. And it hasn't been overthrown yet. In fact, it's spread to hundreds of nations. The reports of people in China being filled with the Holy Ghost numbers in the millions. Praise God. If it's of God, you can't overthrow it. Amen. And the amazing thing is, Saul of Tarsus was a student of Gamaliel. But yet he does his best to try to overthrow it until God overthrows him. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the power of the Lord continues in tremendous ways of what the Lord is able to do. Because every person, everyone can receive this promised Holy Ghost. The promises unto you and to our children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I'm thankful that call is still going forth. There are still people that the Lord is dealing with. There are still people who are seeing it in Scripture and not understanding it, wondering if it's for them, wondering if that's something they can experience. And you need to come along and say, I've got a Bible study for you. I'd like to show you the promises from the Word of God. Amen. And you start just like Philip did with that Ethiopian who is returning home from Jerusalem. And needs to know about the promises of God, needs to understand the Scripture, and you can begin at the same verse and preach Jesus just like Philip did. Praise God. That's the exciting thing. Remember that Jesus said, the wind blows where it lists, wherever it wants. You hear the sound thereof. You see its effect. The treetops wave. The bushes shake. You know the wind's blowing. You can't tell where it came from. You can't tell where it's going. So is everyone. Everybody say everyone. Everyone that is born of the Spirit. Praise God. I'm thankful everyone can experience it. They need to know. They need to understand that this is available for them today, and the power of the Lord is there for His blessings to come in the hearts and lives of people. Amen. Now, we know it's not a one-time gift, not something that happened just that one instance for the purpose of missionary work to speak to nations who were gathered in Jerusalem. We know it's more than that. Acts chapter 4. They came together after they were arrested. They had a prayer meeting. The place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It happened again. Praise God. And chapter 8 had happened. Chapter 10 had happened. Chapter 19 had happened. In fact, chapter 19, the apostles says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What he was doing was looking for divine verification. He wasn't just inquiring in a general sense, how you doing on your walk with God? What level is your understanding? How do you know where you are in your spiritual maturity? No, he was looking for divine verification. Have you received the Holy Ghost? We haven't heard of it. How were you baptized then? John's baptism. John said, praise God. This is about the fifth time that in the book of Acts, about number five, that John's words are being recalled. That's pretty awesome that John, in his very brief ministry, very short period of time that he ministered, yet what he said was so significant and so powerful and an amazing prophecy that it is referred to all of those times. And here is the fifth time in Acts 19. And he directs them to believe on the Lord. They're baptized in that name and they receive the Holy Ghost. And guess what? They speak in tongues. Amen. Because that's divine evidence. And thank God that's what we can hold on to as well. Now, there are those who would doubt that. There are those who would question that, but pretty hard to argue with the scriptural pattern. Pretty hard to eliminate that. Although there are those who would claim, well, it doesn't say it every time. Therefore, you can change it. And I often think, Brother Rick, what if somebody came in? Of course, you're not selling hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cabinets and so on anymore. But let's just imagine. A contractor comes in. You agree. He's got 20 apartments that he needs to furnish. He's got appliances. He's got fixtures. He's got counters. He's got cabinets. Pretty substantial order. So you work out the details. And it's all set. You sign on the dotted line. Not quite signed yet, but you're still discussing it. And the next day, he comes in and he says, okay, we've got this order. And you say, yeah, and you summarize it a little bit, right? You don't go through, okay, we've got all of these oak cabinets. We've got all these granite countertops. We've got all of these Whirlpool appliances. We've got all of these Harmony fixtures. Blah, blah, blah. Go on and on and on. But you summarize it. And the contractor says, oh, wait a minute. You didn't say, therefore our deal is changed. How dumb would that be? You get what I'm trying to say? Just because the Bible doesn't say every instance, like in Acts chapter 8, for example, that they spoke in tongues, doesn't mean the plan was changed. We don't have the option to change it. But there are some who, because it doesn't say they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 8, want to throw it out and say, oh, see, you don't have to. When in reality, they had a supernatural, sensational experience. Or why would Simon be reaching for his wallet and say, I'll pay you for that power? On whoever I lay my hands, they receive the Holy Ghost. Well, if it was just nodding that they got the Holy Ghost, if it was just raising their hand they got the Holy Ghost, why would he be willing to pay them money for it? No, he saw something powerful. Right. Amen. And so, just because it's not included in every passage, you know, the 5,000 that were added, the 3,000 that were added, there are those who say, oh, it doesn't say that they repented and they were baptized and they got the Holy Ghost. Therefore, is not required. That would be ludicrous, you know, for the contractor to go in and tell Brother Rick, oh, you didn't say, you know, the whole list. Therefore, I don't have to pay that amount. Brother Rick would say, no, you don't have to pay that amount, and I don't have to ship you all of the stuff. But there's an understanding there, okay? That's what I'm trying to get across. There's an understanding there. You can't play. And certainly you can't play with it that way in a furniture store, in a lumber yard, in a car lot. You can't play that kind of game. You have to pay the price. And whether the whole thing is stated or not. And that's the way it is in the Word of God. I've got to work on that illustration a little bit. Because it really bugs me that there are people who will try to do that. But yet, you dare them to go into the car lot or the lumber yard or wherever and try to do the same thing. Or the bank. They'll get thrown out. Because they've got to come through. Well, my goodness, there's 5 minutes on that one illustration. I better move on. Okay. The scripture setting there is based on the promise. Based on the fulfillment of what the Lord said was going to happen. And that scriptural setting is what we adhere to today. We're not going to get off base. We're not going to go with what is popular, with what is a compromise, and what is going to fit in with other people's conceptions and preconceived notions and all of that sort of thing. We're going to hold to what the Word of God says. Because even with the apostles being persecuted, you know, they could have really been crying in their tea when they said, oh God, we got filled with your Spirit just like the promise was, and we went and we did a work in your name, and the man was healed, and yet they're still not accepting us, they're still persecuting us, they're still mocking us, they're still beating us, throwing us in jail. We're not gonna say anything anymore. That's not what they decided. When the place was shaken, when they were assembled, they went forth with boldness and spake the word of God and testified about the resurrection. Oh boy, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is a powerful thing, but never forget the power of the resurrection either, because of how wonderful that experience is that God has given to us, and the fact that no one else has that kind of experience. Now, we're not in any competition. We're just trying to proclaim the truth. Amen. I know we talk about Muhammad still in his grave, Confucius still in his grave, Buddha still in his grave. All of these others are still in their grave, but Jesus is alive. Amen. And that's not a competitive statement. That's simply to underline the fact there's no one like Jesus. Amen. And his promises are powerful. His promises are real. And thank God that it continues on with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Peter included when he was talking about the prophets wanted to see it, the angels wanted to see it, and no wonder, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Now, it didn't end. It didn't end. My lesson is going to end in a minute or two here. But their experience did not end. Acts 2 and 42, let's read a passage here on what the Word of God says about how it continued. Sister Glover, if you'd find that for us, please. Acts 2 and 42. We know that this is God's plan and how the Lord wants us to continue in our experience. Okay, read. All right. They were steadfast in their continuation. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't based on convenience. It wasn't, we don't have time this week. No, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that teaching, that experience, that power from God. They didn't just kind of let it slip away. Fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. Praise God. I'm thankful that that's God's design for it to continue because it's going to go on forever. That's our hope in heaven. Amen. And I pray, oh God, let it continue in our midst now so that we'll be ready in that heavenly realm and see the power of God displayed in a great way. Praise God. All right, we come to the end of our time here, and we're excited about the Christmas presentation, and we want to pray that the anointing of God comes in and blesses us in a wonderful way, in that way as well. Praise God. Maria needs prayer. Arlene needs prayer. Thank God Aaron had good results with the